This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone today to Keeping the Faith. My name is Rebecca Guyette, and I'm in today for Steve Shoemaker. Our topic today is a local social service agency and ministry outreach, Cultivadores, translated as cultivators. And our guest is the executive director, Reverend Nelson Cuevas. It's good to have you here today.
It's good to be here, Rebecca.
Before we get started, I'm talking more in depth about the organization. Could you just tell us a little bit about it, a brief overview, who you are, what you do, that type of thing?
Okay. Well, basically, Cultivadores is an organization, ministry. We're not-for-profit. And our mission is to educate the Latino community, their families, children, and we also extend our services to at-risk youth. And we help them establish themselves in a church or a community where they live. There's many other things we do, and we've been adding this year. About myself, where do you want me to start, Becca?
Well, I mean, I know your story, and I think it's fascinating. And so I think that it's an important start for the organization to talk about what you did, how you got to this point and chose to do ministry, to do outreach, to work with the Latino community.
Well, actually, I came to Central Illinois to do prison ministry at Jesus' Way with Jesse Mathis. And that's how I arrived at Central Illinois. I'm originally from Chicago. My parents are Puerto Rican. I grew up in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago and partially raised in Puerto Rico. I was raised at the church. I was Catholic and Pentecostal, combination of rituals and legalism. So it was pretty interesting way, you know, being raised at a home where everyone loved Jesus but had different views of who he was.
Sure.
But anyways, about myself and what got me into ministry, I made many bad decisions growing up, and I come from a home with two parents, hardworking parents. Most Latinos come from homes with two hardworking parents, and my parents were not educated according to standards. And we didn't really have our parents at home, you know. I didn't really have a dad to give me the direction that I really needed.
Mm-hmm.
As far as helping me make decisions or suggesting what type of decisions I should make, what was really enforced in our culture, in our home, in our family, was work.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to work. And so, like I said, I grew up in two parents' home. Went to school. My mom did always, when my dad wasn't around, she encouraged education. I was a straight-A student since the first grade, all the way through high school. And I went to a huge high school in Chicago, Clemente High School, and grammar school and junior high. I was back and forth from Chicago and Puerto Rico. And so in the midst, like I said, I didn't have that male figure in my life. And though I was in love with education, my hero wasn't supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking for support and attention elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it led me to the streets of Chicago, to where I started making real bad decisions, you know, and getting involved with the wrong crowd. And education was no longer a focus, a priority.
Sure.
And like a typical teenager, confused, trying to find an identity, being smart in some areas, being a jock, being very athletic and aggressive, I invested my energy in what I learned through school in gangs, and, which led me to make even more severe mistakes, got involved even deeper and deeper in gangs, and I felt this was my family, you know. I had a family at home. I was living a double life, but I felt that this was a loving family. They believed in what I was doing. They supported me. My ideas supposedly meant something, so I really got involved in this lifestyle that led me to prison for many, many, many years. I mean, but in the midst of these decisions that I made, you know, which were bad, here I was, you know, a straight-A student, two-parent home, had a good future, scholarships offered, and all it took was for the wrong advice or the right person not to advise you correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was, one decision, and everything just collapsed.
Sure.
You know, I can tell you many, many stories, but what I do know is that the more I got involved in the lifestyle that I've chosen that was not healthy, the more in trouble I got, the more I just needed someone to be there, the more I got advice from the wrong people, you know. So, you know, I was looking for a mentor in the wrong places.
Absolutely.
And I've noticed that that is what a lot of young people need now, the right mentors, the right people to step up, the right people to just keep it real with the young generation. Let them know exactly what's out there, you know, and just presenting it to them, because if they don't, trust me, it happened to me. I had the wrong mentors give me the wrong advice that led me to supposedly success in the streets that caused me to spend about 10 years of my life in the state penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
Almost got killed, got shot, was in a weird chair. I mean, I can name it, you know. Lost scholarships for school.
Yeah. What led you out of that? I know that a lot of times recidivism is a big problem with the prison system, and a lot of times people get out and they tend to go right back in. Obviously, you didn't make that choice. You chose a different path, and so what happened afterward?
Well, actually, I did go back. I mean, I did two prison terms in the state of Illinois and one in Puerto Rico. But on my last term, so it was something different, you know, and if there's any prison ministers out there or, you know, preachers that go to prison, please don't stop going. I am a harvest of the seeds that these laborers invest in the state penitentiary. These ministers came in, and one day one of them said something that just made an impact, that just watered a seed that was sown into my young life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young kid, and I didn't mention this before, there was a Baptist minister, good Baptist minister, friend of ours, Brother Bob, who would just go around the neighborhoods and ask our parents' permission to go to church on Saturdays, and they would offer us. You know, people would say, oh, they're bribing you, but it was okay, you know. I wanted to go. They had candy or little goldfish, and we would go. You know, our parents wanted to get rid of us, so they'll send us to church on Sunday. You know how they
Brother
say,
Bob.
Yeah, with Brother Bob. Buy us in. Go to church. But, you know, we went there just for fun and hang out and have our little gang cliques and stuff. But in reality, God was working through that.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 25 years later in the state penitentiary for someone to come in and just...
Click you back there.
Click me back.
Sure.
But this minister was not your typical minister. You know, he was the chaplain of the state penitentiary. And he said, Nelson, I'm going to teach you something that no one's ever taught you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's that? He says, first of all, you need to know who Jesus Christ really is.
Mm-hmm.
And second, you need to add education into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he quoted a scripture that I've quoted for many, many years now, and I quoted to the youth that I work with the Spanish families that I work with. And the scripture was, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, not just lack of knowledge spiritually, he says, in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
And since he knew the story of my dad and I, that I had no direction, he says, your dad had no direction either.
Mm-hmm.
He lacked knowledge.
Sure. It just went down one to the other.
Exactly. So to answer your question, what stopped me from ever going back to the state penitentiary? Wow. I would say a combination of Jesus Christ and education.
Yeah.
Those two.
Wow. Yeah. I'd like to invite callers to ask questions or make comments. We're here today with Reverend Nelson Cuevas, Executive Director of Cultivadores Hispanic Ministry Outreach. If you are outside of Champaign-Urbana, you can call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. If you're within Champaign-Urbana, you can call 333-9455. Well, you explained how you sort of found your way. How long have you been doing the kind of work you're doing, this outreach, this work with the Hispanic community? You're located in in Rantoul. But how long have you been doing this work?
In Rantoul, we're going on 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 4 years. We started as actually a business.
Mm-hmm.
I started as a business detailing cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God had told me, you know, Nelson, I want you to open up something called Cultivator. So I thought it was a business because I grew up in a business environment, you know. So I opened up this business and I was volunteering my services at the regional office for Parkland in Rantoul.
Oh, okay.
And I was tutoring there. I was a GED instructor in the state penitentiary for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So actually it started like 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but okay. I mean...
Sure.
Helping out people, you know, get their GED and go to college. And so even in prison, I was always advocating the system and trying to get, you know, people in there and letting them know, you know, you need Jesus, but you also need to get your education and stuff like that. You want to stop coming to prison or whatever, you know, you got to do this. But when I got to Rantoul, I started out as a business and tutoring GED. And I used to hire the young kids to come and help me, you know, the teens, the at-risk youth, that whatever society calls them. I call them young men.
Yeah.
To me, they're young, godly men that need direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come and help me out, you know, and I compensated by giving them a portion, a percentage of what they made. But in exchange, they had to read the Bible with me, and they had to pass their GED because I was also their tutor. Well, guess what? Business wasn't going too well in detailing. The little garage started getting full of teens, of kids, Latino families. To the point where I was asked to move. You know, I was asked to turn the key in because they said, wait a minute, there's hardly any cars there. All you got is kids and people there. So I started bouncing around to eventually, you know, when I got married, my wife and I, and she had joined forces, and we purchased a home. And we purchased a home with the idea that we will make a little center for the kids to come. And I told my wife, you know, if we don't find a home that's either two flats, two units, or has a basement, you know, we're just going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed us. We were able to get a house, and that's exactly what we used it for. So then that's when we officially started, you know, so-called as a non-for-profit, faith-based organization, working with the kids.
And that was about 4 years ago.
That was what? 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yes.
And tell us about some of the things that you do with the children. I mean, what are the age ranges that you work with?
We work with children from the ages of 6 to 12. And we also work with 13 to 18-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
The younger kids, you know, we have an after-school program. We call it Kids Club de Niños.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up the kids. We have a transportation route where we pick up the kids in Rantoul, and we drop them off at school. We pick them up. Then twice a week, we bring them into our home.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them out with their homework. A lot of them don't understand the English language, so they have a hard time.
Sure.
And many of them have even failed in the past, you know, because of this burial. But they come to our little center, and what we do is tutor them. And some of the methods we use is the Bible. We use the Bible as a method to teach them to read. We pray with them. We help them with the schoolwork. We do activities. I'm a certified drug counselor for the state of Illinois. So I no longer provide my services as a professional. I just do them as part of our ministry.
Sure.
So I do prevention and risk education And I teach my kids the harmful effects of alcohol and drugs and where it can lead you, because as I go back to the terrible decisions that I made as a youth that caused me to get involved in gangs, caused me to even drop out of school, caused me to make very, very stupid decisions were due to the effects of drugs, being under the influence. And so I try to teach my kids, you know, this is where it's going to lead to. So, yeah, that's basically some of the things that we actually do at our program. Since we're not actually funded, there's not much more we can do. So we just do what we could with what we can. And we've been successful in that area.
Absolutely. We've got a caller from Champaign. Caller, go ahead.
Hi. I want to say how I think probably one of the best things you can do is model. And you are a model. Because drugs and alcohol, as you know, are very much the enemy. And so thank you for all that you're doing. My question to you is this quote, "My people suffer from lack of knowledge." I think that behooves us all to be teachers. And I am one, thank heavens. And my parents were that, too. Anyhow, I think we need to know the scripture well enough that we can be good teachers. And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she hung up.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, she said your response to that and your agreeance. I would say you're definitely in agreeance. I mean, do you see yourself as a teacher of sorts?
Yes. I am in total agreement with her. As teachers, I do consider myself a teacher. I teach the word. Mm-hmm. I don't preach the word. I teach it. I think you need to learn it in order to understand it and comprehend it and then put it into action. And caller, we're held accountable for our teaching. It is a very, very high calling and a very serious one, again, because it goes right into direction. Actually, our mission statement for our organization is Proverbs 22, verse 6, which is teach a child to go the right way, so that when he gets older, he will continue in that path. And I usually use the International Children's Bible to quote that because I think it's the most easiest one. Plus, I don't have to pull out dictionary to look up words.
You were talking about your work and, you know, what the kids do and what you do there at the center. One of the things, because I am familiar with the organization, that I find most interesting is a lot of times when people there are after school programs often you'll see for children of elementary school age, even junior high school age. But a lot of times at that point, the teenage years is when they start to kind of get lost because there's nothing there offered for them. Mm. You've developed a unique answer and solution to that problem. Can you talk about that?
Sure. What we do at Cultivadores is the following. Our kids, you know, they're with us to the age of 12. For the last 3 years, we've had some of our kids enter into the adolescent world, you know. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is so they don't get excluded. And we really don't refer them places where they're going to be idle. They're going to have nothing to do. So with that in mind, because we did ask them, you know, so what now? And none of them really knew what to do. So then my wife and I came up with the idea that we'll just staff them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep them here
as staff.
And have them as staff, of course. You know, again, I think young children and young adults or young teenagers, empowered and with the right direction, they're awesome. They're the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just develop them at a young age, then in later years, you don't have to incarcerate them. You know, you can just place them in the right
education
places.
Education instead of incarceration.
Yes, of course. Why not? It'll just save the government some money.
And maybe make it some.
Yeah, help pay taxes, you know, be a positive contribution to society. But what we do is we staff them. I train them. My wife and I train them in prevention and how to handle kids, situations, resolution, conflicts, you know, how to solve these matters, how to treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
So What I have them do is empower the young kids through the empowerment they receive from my wife and us and the other volunteers that come and help us.
Sure.
So each one is assigned a group, and that is their group. And they're working with either me, my wife, or the other volunteers that are assigned to the group. According to an age category, we divide them.
Sure.
And now they tutor them. Now they help them with
these
their
are adult volunteers.
Yes, we usually get churches that send us volunteers, and you know we always take volunteers from churches that want to come and help and tutor the kids. You know, I always tell them Spanish is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are trying to learn English.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, the kids, they pass it on, and you should see their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You should see how they act. I mean, you see them with their head down in the beginning of the school year, and before the school is over, they're walking with their head up, puffed up, you know, and representing, like they say, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, we get a high. We get paid.
Yeah,
you know,
that's your compensation.
Yes, to see this, how they develop with just a few encouraging words. And I believe we were talking about this earlier, and let me just add this, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, but affirmation. To me, women are precious. They're princess, and when they get to a certain age, they're queens. They are daughters of the Most High God, and they should be treated with reverence, respect, and they're very delicate. And women need to learn at a young age, these young girls that my wife and I work with, who they are in Christ, what's expected of them. And affirmation, letting them know their beauty, inner and outer, letting them know that they have talents, digging in, because this is what my wife and I do. This is what a cultivator does, Becca. A cultivator gets hired by a farmer, and he's put in a field to take out the weeds, the rocks, to clean that out so that then a seed can get sown and a good fruit comes out in the harvest time. So my wife and I, we seek their talents, especially young girls. I target girls a lot. Of course, my wife is always present because women need to know who they are. They're the multipliers. They're the ones who will produce the generations to generations to generations. Nice. And I try to teach them, you don't really need a man to support you financially. Mm-hmm. You need a man to partner with and become one. A man is going to love you, respect you, support you, honor you, encourage you, and that's who you need to look for.
Well, I think that's so important. I don't know how many of our listeners know this. I mean, I'm certainly well aware of the rates of teenage pregnancy education isn't always encouraged, especially in the Latino culture of the females. I mean, it's often not encouraged at all, but it especially isn't encouraged among females. That's not their role. And I think that's one of the reasons I believe in your organization, and I think a lot of other people do also, is because, you know, there are some long-term impacts that I think are already starting to see with some of the teenage girls, but that you'll continue to see, because I think that's very important. When I was talking, Nelson and his wife and I were speaking before we started the show today. Maybe share a little bit with the audience about your and your wife's thoughts on how you encourage them to kind of find their gifts and the importance of education and what you encourage them to do.
Well, basically, you know, this not only to the young girls, but the young men, you know, I really come hard on men because most of the reason why many women are not being as successful as they should be is because us men, we're not playing our role. So what I emphasize and I stress, I really stress this, Becca, is, again, education, yes, of course. And Christ must be the priority. If he's not in it, then my opinion, this is my personal opinion, and education is just nothing. And so what I tell my kids is the following. You know, I tell them, look, you need to seek who you are. You need to seek your talent. You need to find out who you are. Actually, you know, in the 12-step program, the fourth step says to do a personal inventory, a moral personal inventory. Mm-hmm. So actually, I tell this to the young girls and my young men. Again, this falls into prevention, but now it's also education. It's all the same thing. So I tell them, you do this and find out where your talents are. What you're good at. What are you really good at? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not asking you what your mother thinks you're good at. I'm not asking you what your father thinks you're good at, or grandmama, or granddaddy, or, yes, or whoever is raising this child. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you, what are you good at? And sometimes they ask me, well, we really don't know. I said, well, why don't you ask God?
Mm-hmm.
Or why don't you write down what you like to do?
Sure.
Thank you. I said, and focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And on everything else, just stay average, stay competitive. Mm-hmm. But get better on what you're already good at.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor from our home church always tells me, never settle for good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always room for improvement.
Sure.
So that's what I tell them. And then when they finally come and tell me this, I tell them, well, now you're going to focus on this, mm-hmm, and this is what I want you to do for us.
Sure.
You do this.
Yeah.
And so then we start developing their talents. We don't try to develop talents that we want for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of our leadership development is developing these leaders in the areas that they're talented in.
Sure.
And it's worked. It's working out pretty good.
I think it's working out very well. Can you tell us a little bit about the population? I mean, are the children you're working with, tell us about their parents or families. I mean, are they here permanently? Is it a transient community?
Cultivadores, at first we started working with transients as the migrant,
mm-hmm,
community. And we've now focused on the locals that have made Northern Champaign and Champaign County their home.
Mm-hmm.
They've made this their resident. They're here permanently, you know, with a majority with steady jobs, homes, trying to find homes. And they've made this area their home.
Yes.
So, yeah, we focus on the Latino community in this area, basically. And, yes, we try to help out the transients and others,
mm-hmm,
but our focus, our primary focus is the actual locals that,
sure,
live in this area.
Sure. Do you involve the parents? How are the, you know, I mean, do you run into any risk? I mean, do parents see you as competition, or do they just, I mean, I can only imagine they appreciate the work you do, but how do you keep them involved?
Well, actually, no, the parents have been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
The parents, we get them involved with the activities that we do. We have the kids compensate their parents,
mm-hmm,
through celebrations that we have throughout the year, and the parents give back to the children give back to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we've get them involved in outreach programs that we do, Food Mobile. There's ESL classes that we periodically do at the Catholic Church or any facility that's lent to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the parents involved in that area, you,
mm-hmm,
know. That's how they get involved. No, up to this point, praise God, the parents have never really complained. Plus, we meet their needs. We try to help them to the best of our ability.
Sure.
And we've been very supportive to their needs and very understanding to their situation. You know, it's very,
mm-hmm,
very difficult. Becca, you know, you and I come from, you know, we're both Latinos, and
mm-hmm,
our parents, you know, migrated to this country decades and decades ago.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of live that. We know that it's difficult trying to be a productive member of this society, of this country, and raising children and getting them used to obeying and respecting and loving God,
mm-hmm,
according to how this country expects you to do it.
Absolutely. I'd just like to remind you that you're listening to Keepin' the Faith on AM 580 WILL. This program is supported in part by the University YMCA. The Y is the oldest. The Y Student Board is the oldest continuous student organization at the University of Illinois, and the University YMCA is the oldest not-for-profit organization in Champaign-Urbana. Since 1873, the University YMCA has been developing student leaders by providing opportunities for community service and social action. This Saturday, August 5th, from 8 a.m. till 12 noon at the University Y, we'll be having a children's clothing and toy sale as a preempt for our dump and run. And and that's taking place at 1001 South Wright Street, Champaign. The University Y will be collecting for our huge dump and run sale beginning August 15th at the U of I Stock Pavilion on Pennsylvania Avenue. Feel free to bring your furniture, household goods, books, CDs, kitchenware. The sale will be August 24th through the 26th, but please donate at the Stock Pavilion beforehand. If you have any questions, you can call the Y at 337-1500. Again, I'm Becca Guyette, Y Program Director Host, and we are going to cut for a moment for a severe weather.
The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southern Shelby County and central Illinois until 6 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Just to, again, want to invite callers to ask questions or make comments. We're here today with Reverend Nelson Cuevas, Executive Director of Cultivadores, a Hispanic ministry outreach organization. If you are outside of Champaign or Champaign-Urbana, you can call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. In Champaign-Urbana, you can call 333-9455. Back to the work that the organization does. We were just talking about the community that you work with and who they are. You were giving some demographics, and you were saying most of them are local. Rantoul is a pretty small community as they go, and sometimes those are hard to break into in terms of gaining people's trust and so forth. You've been particularly successful at doing that, and how do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Well, Becca, you know, I always give God the glory first, so. God has favored me in this community. And we've been able to gain the trust of the community in the following way. First of all, through the Community Service Center in Rantoul. It's where the majority of the family we work with, we've met. And some of the churches there have been very supportive as well as allowing us to introduce ourselves to the community.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been able to win their trust because we've just been keeping it real with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've gone door to door offering our services. We've been there to support them in situations where, in most cases, some others wouldn't be able to meet this need.
Sure.
And also, you know, the fact that being a Latino helps,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Latinos is, you know, the way we operate in some cases is that mi casa es tu casa. And
sure.
And we can tell when someone, I guess, is real. And I've kept it as real as possible with these people. And the reality is I've never hid my past. I've always let them know, yes, I was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I made mistake. Yes, I did this and that. And that is a reason why I want to be more involved in the life of your children, because I want to prevent them from ever having to go through this path.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my honesty has earned their trust.
Sure. Sure. How do you respond to criticism that your ministry and work primarily serves the Latino community?
Well, you know, I've been accused of favoring the Latino community, and I wouldn't actually say favoring. I'm meeting a need to a disfranchised community.
Absolutely.
That actually no one out there at this point is able to meet, and I pray that if there's any out there who want to, by all means, join forces with us. We need all the help we can get. This has gotten bigger than we ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
May I tell them about the new center?
Sure.
You know, it's gotten to the point that we have grown our basement. We just got a new facility that's 5,000 square footage in Rantoul with a parking space for over 50 cars, and it's being renovated as we speak. And you know, we need all the help we can get. You know, we're meeting the needs of the people. The organization's getting bigger, not as far as the staffing, but as actually clients, members,
mm-hmm.
people, whatever term that you want to use, it's getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So we always need volunteers to come and tutor the kids. We always need volunteers to help us with our food mobiles. And we always need volunteers even for our outdoor sales.
Absolutely.
You know? And we need all the help we can get. But no, I wouldn't call it favoritism, favoring the Latino community at all. I'm just
meeting a need
that's out there, and that's basically it.
We've got a caller from Urbana. Caller, go ahead. Caller? Caller, hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that when you targeted Latino girls, I think that's really a good idea. The Associated Press, I don't know if you know this, but they reported in June, last June, that a CDC survey of 14,000 U.S. high school students found that Latino students were far more likely to have attempted suicide than either whites or blacks. And out of that Latino group, the Latino girls were especially likely to have attempted suicide. So I know one of the people apparently that know about this survey is a Dr. Glenn Flores from the Medical College of Wisconsin. But I just wanted to call up and applaud your focusing on Latino girls. It's a very difficult. High school is very difficult for Latino girls.
Three folk song.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would certainly agree. I think that that's something that's so important that a lot of people might not understand because, you know, college or junior high school is a difficult time for everyone. And I think that when you factor in not fitting in, when you factor in coming from a different culture, when you factor in not being comfortable maybe with your language, you're a lot more susceptible. And I think the self-esteem building you do, the confidence building that you and your wife do is just so important. It's very empowering. I mean, the leadership development, especially that the teens that you work with are getting, is just phenomenal. And I happen to know that you certainly don't turn children away. So I know that, you know, if so-and-so's friend is interested and they heard, well, they want to come too. And I know that one of the teens that you've helped out probably the most and who we've seen leadership development in happens to be Caucasian. And so,
sure.
Yeah, so I think that that's important. I'd like to talk, when we're talking about your work with teens, and mention your work with Lincoln's Challenge and Rand Toole and some of the things that you do over there.
I volunteer my pastor services to Lincoln's Challenge. Lincoln's Challenge has been very supportive. I think this is a very good program. My wife and I have been ministering there for years. Actually, my wife's been there longer. Actually, I met my wife through that ministry, and that's how we met. And then we got married, and we continued. But I volunteer on Sunday. I'm actually their pastor. I do their services on Sunday, a non-denominational service. And it's pretty interesting because most of them, 90%, come from the city of Chicago. I'm from the northwest side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to relate to them and meet them where they're at. See, what we failed to realize is that we were teenagers at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still am in heart, you know, but you have to meet them where they're at. Look, the prime example, you know, and for the Christian audience out there, the listeners, you know, what better example than God himself incarnating himself in Jesus Christ, becoming human to meet our needs? You know, he could have came as King of all kings and with his robes and his crown and his legion of angels, and he could have been on a cloud puffing, I am God. But no, he became a human being to meet us where we're at. And I use the same example that my creator has taught me, and I meet them where they're at.
Sure.
You know, of course I have boundary. I'm a behaviorism. I'm into modifying behavior. You know, I address it. I am as cool can be. You know, the new word that I learned the other day, nifty as nifty can be. You know, I'm down as down can be. But you know what? I have a boundary too. And I'm going to address it.
Sure.
And I let them know when they're out of pocket. And I let them know when I'm Reverend Nelson. And I let them know when I'm Brother Nelson. And I let them know when I'm Executive Director Nelson. And then I let them know I'm just Nelson. So I also teach my kids there's boundaries, and you got to know when, how, who, where. There's a time and place for everything. And I've noticed that I asked my wife, Tracy, you think I'm being too harsh? She goes, no, I think you're letting them know ahead of time that there's a time and place. And they like that.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, children, youth, seek out structure. They seek out discipline. And I think that, I mean, just a personal example of that, you know, my nieces begged to come stay even for a week every summer. They want to come stay with Auntie Becca. But, you know, the first thing they always tell their parents after they leave, well, she's so strict. But the next summer, they're begging to come back and stay again. My husband and I have to laugh about that. But it's true. Yeah. I think, you know, structure, discipline, it's just so important. And, I mean, that's why I think that the work that you do is so it is so practical also. I mean, yes. the skills that the children are getting and the things that they're learning. I mean, even priorities. Okay, we get there for after school, homework time. You know, prioritizing there. So they're getting their work done. They understand there's a time for play, but there's a time for work. That's really important, and, you know, in figuring out a balance. We talked about, obviously, your work in the Rantoul community. Before we get into your work in the Champaign-Urbana community, I'd like to reintroduce you. Today we're here with Reverend Nelson Cuevas, Executive Director of Cultivadores, a Hispanic Ministry Outreach organization. And we are talking about the organization's work. I'd like to invite guests to call in. If you're outside of Champaign-Urbana, you can call 1-800-222-9455. Within Champaign-Urbana, you can call 333-9455. What's some of the work that you do in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, basically, in Champaign-Urbana, we extended our services to the Latino families, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's an agency called ACES at the Executive Center at 115 North Neal Street, and they lend us their facility, one office space, at no cost. And what we do is that we go there and we provide interpreter and bilingual translator services. We do evaluations, DUI evaluations, at-risk class. We do prevention and education to their Spanish clients.
Mm-hmm.
And Cultivadores as well. Additionally, again, we advocate. We help the families fill out job applications. Right now, we just got a young lady on board, and her assignment is going to be to go to either doctor's appointments or any other place where she's needed to help out the Latino families or meet their need in mm-hmm. whatever situation it is. And the population in Champaign is growing bigger and bigger. The Latino community is getting bigger and bigger as we speak. And the thing about it is that their children, you know, they're here to stay as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're making this their home. They're getting educated. You know, they're getting involved. So, you know, we're just trying to meet their needs and help them out in whatever we can.
Mm-hmm. Have you found yourself getting involved at all into any of the immigration talks? I know there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I imagine our sentiments are probably similar. But you know, where people ask, you know, are you working with people who are illegally here? Are you working with people who shouldn't be here? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for our parents and our grandparents immigrating, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't ask questions, too many questions, Becca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a pastor
mm-hmm.
and a foreigner, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the book of Deuteronomy, God reminds the children of Israel that they were once foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually commanded them
mm-hmm.
to treat foreigners well, with
mm-hmm.
respect, because they were once foreigners. They were once slaves
mm-hmm.
in Egypt. And they did not like the way they were treated, not only in Egypt, but the children of Israel were captive by their enemies many times, so they became not only slaves of foreigners in many, many lands and countries. So, you know, we have to be very compassionate and merciful
mm-hmm.
to foreigners
mm-hmm.
in any country, or not only Hispanics, anyone that comes from any other country. I am not the immigration. My job is not to find out what their status is.
Sure.
My job is to meet their need, love them, provide what I can, and accept them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do, you know. And I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I know some people may wonder, well, I mean, how are you able to do all of this? And I mean, it's clearly a it can be a full-time job. How are you funded?
Wow, good question. It is a full-time job. My wife, I left my job as a substance abuse counselor, and my wife left her job, and we got involved with this full-time. We even withdrew our IRA, our retirement money.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in this mission. We believe that God has called us to this mission, and it's been 3 years, and we're still above water, and God is still providing. We get funded through the services we provide. Again, like I mentioned, ACES hires us to provide services to their clients. Since I am certified by the state in some areas,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to provide certain services.
Sure.
Sign off and do what I need to do. As long as the facility is licensed by Department of Human Services,
uh-huh.
I'm able to do certain services that I'm certified through them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, besides our services, we do like many flea market sales
mm-hmm.
at our facility throughout the whole summer on Saturday. Something similar to what you do.
Sure, our dump and run sale.
Yeah, and I grew up in this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention. You know, my dad. He ran his little small business, and mm-hmm. I grew up in that small business. And part of it was, and back in Mexico, like in Puerto Rico, we got places called pulgueros,
mm-hmm.
flea markets.
Yes, absolutely.
So I grew up at a pulguero, at a flea market, and it's called Jewtown in Chicago. And I spent, wow, like 20 years of my young life there with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And since my dad couldn't speak English, I had to translate
Before
his products.
Them.
That's where I got my training, actually.
Sure, sure.
So I was his bullhorn. I would let the people know what my dad was selling. And
mm-hmm.
and I brought that into, I don't believe I brought it into ministry 25 years, uh-huh. years later. But I've taken it to another level. I use it like marketing skills.
Mm-hmm.
I got my young girls, and I teach them, and they're like my cashier. They're there collecting money. I teach them how to be polite,
mm-hmm.
you know, the proper etiquette, you know,
mm-hmm.
how to treat the customer. Don't argue. Just agree with them. Meet their need. My wife, she has 17 years of experience. She used to work for Pards.
Oh, okay.
So, she, you know, her area of marketing and pricing and shipping
mm-hmm.
and receiving, you know, she's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
So she's also empowered the young girls on customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the young men, and I bring them in, and they come and help me mark. We pick up donations. You know, we put the things where they should go, the items.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of their development.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Becca, we were talking about earlier, my crew, I call them my crew, my children, my young ones. My oldest is 16.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest is 12, Daisy. She's the newest member of Cultivadores Juventud Latina, is what they call themselves. And between five young adolescents and my wife and I,
mm-hmm.
We raised approximately $125,000 this past year.
Wow.
Yeah. We do have partners that donate.
Sure.
We do have churches that partner with us. And, you know, we always need all the help we can get. I mean, I can probably invest more of my energy, more of my time, more ministering in other areas. If we have more partners, if we have more supporting churches, if we had businesses
mm-hmm.
See the vision that and what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm using what God has handed over to me to cultivate.
Absolutely.
And I am very, very proud of my kids. And I let people know, you know, when they ask me, how do you do it? When I show them who I'm working with,
mm-hmm.
people don't actually believe this.
Oh, I know. They're expecting a big staff of adults.
Yeah.
And these, well, you know, it's so important. And I mean, you think about the transferable skills that they're getting in terms of responsibility and just the very practical skills that they're learning from this. Kind of transferring over into there. Well, before we do that, we're gonna have one more severe weather announcement.
A severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 6 this evening for southern Shelby County. The National Weather Service Doppler radar continued to indicate a severe thunderstorm capable of producing penny-sized hail and damaging winds. The storm was located 4 miles east of Cowden and about 12 miles south of Shelbyville.
Talking about your work with the teens, I know that for the Rantoul School, sometimes you've served as you go out there. You want to talk about some of the work that you do there in the school systems and what you talk to the kids about?
We focus in Rantoul basically elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I have gone in, and I speak a lot about bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Abstinence. We stress abstinence in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
And again, conflict and resolution. It is an area where I really get involved in. You know, a lot of the kids, they get into arguments, and you know, kids will be kids, especially boys. Boys are gonna be boys. You know, they're gonna try to outprove themselves, or they're trying to get the new girl. Mm-hmm. In school's attention, and they all of a sudden they can't do backflips, and they're doing backflips in the hallways, and you know, stuff that the little kids,
sure,
the little kids do, you know, and I'm usually called in, you know, and I do little workshops. Unfortunately, you know, I'm only able to do stuff with the kids that I have consent, the kids that are members of our club.
Yes.
You know, the school, they have their regulations, their rules, and
sure,
we have to abide and respect them. So I just praise God that I am able to go in there as a preventionist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go in there and I do mini workshop, and you know, they call it detention, but I don't call it detention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always give it a name, you know. Last year I called what the school calls detention Better Than Best Club. Right? Was it Better Than Better Than Best Club. And I told the kids, you know, you're going to come in here now and learn how to be better than best so that you don't have to come here again and learn how to be better than best. And does it make sense? No. I mean, what doesn't really make sense, but detention, a kid will start reacting to any title, give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start calling a kid bad, and if you start calling this detention, and if you start saying that detention is a place where you go because you did something bad, then guess what? Then that kid's going to start acting bad. Then guess what? If he's getting most of the good attention from Reverend Nelson at detention, then mm-hmm. guess what he's going to want to be all the time?
Sure.
So if I make this a place where, you know, this is a learning experience and there's rules, regulations, and I run it like the military,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, they'll probably come less, but when they're there, they're going to learn something.
Yes.
And they're not going to be labeled as bad. It's just a learning experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the conflict resolution is especially important. You mentioned that you have a food mobile this Friday, this upcoming Saturday afternoon. You want to talk a little bit about that, where that food goes, who that serves?
Sure. We do two food mobiles a year. The Vineyard Church in Urbana, they've been very, very supportive of our ministry, and they provide over 10,000 pounds of food. Actually like 20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
East Food Bank, they're very supportive of our ministry as well. And they're the ones who are doing this actually to help our community of Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do basically is now that we have a bigger facility with the parking space, you know.
Sure.
What we do is we just set up tables and we bring out the food. That's where the families get involved. The mothers, the parents, they come. And as they speak the language, you know, they do the sign-in sheets. And we have little prayer groups and we pray with the families. And there's music, Spanish music, Christian Spanish music for the families.
Mm-hmm.
The youth group at some of the churches, they come and volunteer their services. They do skits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, face painting. They got, you know, they barbecue with the family. So it's really not, I wouldn't call it a food mobile more. It's, you know, it's like a family picnic.
Yes.
You know, it's relational. Cultivators is into relationships. We like to have everything we do in a relational way, you know,
mm-hmm.
where we people become friends.
Absolutely.
It strengthens
community ties.
Oh, yes. And we don't exclude anyone. You know, that's another thing, you know, and I'm going to add this quickly.
Sure.
We've crossed over, Becca.
Sure.
You know, cultivator is not just meeting the needs of the Latino children and their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got other children, other at-risk youth. Praise God, coming over. We're
mm-hmm.
not even open yet, but we estimate over 60 to 70 kids and at-risk youth coming to our facilities when we are open.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just talking Hispanics. We're talking blacks, whites, you know,
everyone.
Whoever, anyone. You know, God did say to make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have prioritized to an extent the Latino community, because if you look around, no one in Champaign County or Northern Champaign County is actually outreaching this area as a ministry in this
Absolutely.
Area.
Sure,
you know, and
sure.
I praise God that they do go to Mexico and they have mission trips. Wow, you guys are doing an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and keep doing that. I support it all, you know, all the way. And we're doing it here, you know, and you can join and help us here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. There's nothing wrong. We're all a family here. But we have crossed over. We got more families, more kids, and we're not closing the doors on any of them,
mm-hmm.
any of them.
Well, that kind of goes into one of the last things that I want to talk about, which is what's next? I mean, how do you see the future? What do you see for the organization, short-term and long-term?
Well, short-term, what we're trying to do is just get into the new facility.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we're working on a Spanish Bible study
mm-hmm.
for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Our long term is to probably just have it all year around, as long as the ministry is open. We also have a transitional home for at-risk youth,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the Lincoln's Challenge cadets or any other youth that's come out of a drug program and needs a place to stay. We've purchased some property to house them,
mm-hmm.
and we offer other programs to help them. Again, we're a Christian organization. We're not government funded,
mm-hmm.
so all our programs are focused in Christ, with the exception of GED or if they want to go to college.
Sure.
But our long-term goal, you know, we're here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to provide all these services for as long as we can and continue to add more with the help of the community.
Sure.
Our center is going to be open for other nonprofit organizations. Let's say any other organization, the Refugee Center,
mm-hmm.
or even YMCA, any mm-hmm. other, or the Migrant Council.
Sure.
You know, any organization that's wanting to also meet the needs or provide services to the Latino community or to at-risk youth, they're more than welcome to approach us and use our office space, because
mm-hmm.
right now we have plenty.
Sure.
And it's going to be open for them. And so, yeah, consider us, label us as this. We are a Christian
mm-hmm.
community center.
Christian community center.
If that's how you want to describe
sure,
us.
Sure, sure.
Well, we're there to be the first call for help in Christ through our center.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today. This has been wonderful. And I hope that our guests have learned and enjoyed this as well. I'd like to thank all of our listeners. Of course, I'd like to thank you, Nelson, for being here. I'd like to thank all the individuals who called in. Just to remind everybody, next Sunday, August 6th, Steve's guest will be Eric Aglada, who will be talking about Christianity and anarchism. I'd also like to remind you of the sale next Saturday at the University YMCA. It's a children's clothing, toy, and furniture sale. Begins at 8 a.m. and will run until 12 noon. It's open to everyone, and it's at 1001 South Wright Street. Next week, Steve will be back, and I'd like to thank you all for listening to Keeping the Faith. I'm Becca Guyette, Y Program Director, your host for today.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something you hear on the Information Advantage, call 217-333-0853 and leave a message. That's 217-333-0853.
Open the door to great prizes for your home. Enter the WILL sweepstakes. It's your chance to win a two-piece grand prize, a flat-screen high-definition television set from Glenn Poor's Audio Video in Champaign, and a family theater sofa from Carter's Furniture. Watch your mail for the sweepstakes packet and enter soon. To request an entry form, call 217-333-1070.
No matter what quiet corner of America you inhabit, you've heard about NASCAR. You may not understand it, but while you weren't paying attention, those cars driving in circles for hours became our national pastime. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, car racing from NASCAR to Formula One, with a few pit stops in between. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.